Blog Talk Radio.
After Thursday.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
even shy. So, you know, words you cannot say. Bridget, thank you. She did the music and singing, and I wrote the words. Welcome to Hatterday. What is it? Jukebox? This is the September 22nd in the year of our Lord 2022. It is the equinox. Does everybody feel balanced today? I don't know. So the equinox is when it's the same amount of light as dark as the night and day, I guess. Today was National States and Capital Day, National Business Women's Day, Carefree Day, Dear Diary Day, Elephant Appreciation Day, Hobbit Day, Girls Night Out, I guess, National Girls Night, Ice Cream Cone Day, White Chocolate Day, and the Autumnal
Equinox. I want an ice cream cone.
I know. I'm getting some later. Then tomorrow, so we read this today. It's a little late. Tomorrow. Well, with me also is my friend and little sister, the boss, Deborah Lee. She does all the heavy lifting and back so I can stay here and look pretty. Thank you. Thank you, Deborah.
My pleasure, Heather.
Tomorrow, where there's, let's see, the 23rd. It is Energize Day, National Brave Day. Okay, National Gay Men's and AIDS Awareness Day, National Checkers Day, National Great American Pot Pie Day. I wonder who makes these things up. National Snack Stick Day. Teal Talk Day. Restless Leg Awareness Day. Okay. I wonder what they do to celebrate the Restless Leg Appreciation Day. Anyway, tonight, one of the my favorite type of shows, when we get there, is It is the Wrecking Crew. We're going to be, if you don't know who the Wrecking Crew was, you should, because it happened in the mid-60s, and up into the 70s, about 10 years. I could go a little longer than that, I guess. These were musical session artists in Los Angeles, California. When the music moved from the East Coast to West, the young musicians that came in to play the session artists were not as, let's just say they're not as formal as the session artists from the previous day. So somebody said that they're going to wreck the music industry, and that's how they got the name the Wrecking Crew. It's Carol Kay, the only real female of the bunch. She played bass and is one of the greatest members. Tommy Tedesco was the guitar. And we'll get into some of the other members. We're going to concentrate a little on Glenn Campbell. Glenn Campbell was one part of the Wrecking Crew, and I have a list of what he was part of, what he played. It's amazing. The Wrecking Crew just took no credit. What they would do is the music would show up from the record companies, the producing companies, give the music to the Wrecking Crew. They would do the music, and they would bring the singers in from, like, the Beach Boys, the Monkees, Nancy Sinatra, and on and on. But they did the music. They cut the music on those single and the albums. The singles were the little 45 records. That is the Wrecking Crew. They were responsible for 85% of all music that came out of L.A. between the years, I think it's like 67 through 74. And just a remarkable list. They took no credit because the interchange who played what? There was about 12 members of the Wrecking Crew at any given time. They did come in and out. I guess the total is like 31 total, but that includes everybody. But the original Wrecking Crew we're going to talk about, they were given music. The record companies, they could pump out a hit song in an afternoon, if not a couple hours, and then do another one. They were that tight. So, and then the bands, if the music had changed a little bit, they were had to learn how to play it the way the Wrecking Crew did, because they did change music to make the hits. And they were a hit machine. Also, the sound wall from Phil Spector was a part of the Wrecking Crew, who they played for. And you're talking a big variety of huge variety of genres of music. Rock, pop, jazz, R&B. They did commercials. That's usually session artists are made for. They did the theme songs for Bonanza, Batman. Let me get to that list. I want to make sure I'm right. But these guys, like I said, they were part of the pop and rock music scene, and never got credit for it. Couldn't put their name on the albums. It would have complicated. Now, nobody knew this. The artists, say the Monkees, they didn't want anybody to know that they didn't play the music on that album. They had to go live. If the band could go live, they would have to learn how to play it, of course. They didn't want, like for the Monkees and, let's see, Herb Alpert and Tijuana Brass. Glenn Campbell was an exception, and we'll get back to him later, but Nancy Sinatra, Sonny and Cher. They couldn't. The artist didn't want to know they didn't play on the album. The Wrecking Crew didn't want to know, didn't want to be put on the album, because it would complicate everything in the music industry. They would have been asked to be paid, and they were already paid to do these songs. The record company wasn't going to say anything because they knew it would upset the music fans, especially rock and roll. There's a pretty famous drummer, and his name slips me right now, but he grew up loving three different drummers from three different bands. When he grew up and learned of the Wrecking Crew, he found out it was the same guy. One guy did the music for those albums. I think his name is Lewis. But remarkable. Can't find it now. Remarkable what they were responsible for. Where is it? I put the, I maybe have it on the other side. Yeah, so I love talking about the Wrecking Crew. Tommy Tedesco, his son, Bobby, I think, or Robert Tedesco, after his dad died, he made a documentary. He went and interviewed the members of the crew. They are also members of some bands, how they felt about not having their music on the actual hit. But it was the best-kept secret of music during the time it was happening. The Wrecking Crew made big money. Now, the record company, they had a choice, whether to get, you know, four young 18, 19, 20-year-old kids that formed a band and are hit. You know what problems you're going to have in the studio because they don't understand how it works or the tracks. Or you can give the music to the Wrecking Crew and they'll pump it out within an hour, 2 hours it's recorded and on its way. The record company is, of course, going to take the easy road, and Wrecking Crew was paid very well. And the people that were most upset was the bands, the members. The story of Peter Tork, the part of the Monkees, he showed up with the guitars and everything because he knew they would record their songs for the album Last Train to Clarksville. And he showed up, and they said, "What are you doing here?" He goes, "Oh, I'm Peter Tork. I wasn't here to record." He goes, "Oh, no. We just need Mickey Dolenz. We just need Mickey to sing the songs. The music's already done." That's how most musicians were found out about the Wrecking Crew. The music was already done. Peter Tork was blown away. Nesmith also, Michael Nesmith. They were the two true musicians of the Monkees, Nesmith and Tork. But that's just one story. They made, God, who was it? I want to say, I'll tell you what, we have a recording of, it's about 11 minutes long. Now, Debbie, the first one I gave you to set the record.
The first one. The first one is the one that says Glenn Campbell.
Okay, yes. Put that. Because we didn't count.
11 minutes. Okay, yes. Here it comes. Okay. And are we playing the whole thing?
Yes. Yeah,
cool.
We'll go back to that.
Okay, here it comes.
Phil Spector things, he would do something in F sharp. He did it in strange keys for some reason. You ever notice that about Phil? B. Who the hell does a song in B? Phil Spector. Yeah, and you got to sit there and go, you know. And he wanted an open, ringing sound. Well, I put the capo in the A position, though.
Right.
He could do that, you know. And play all the sharp and flat keys.
Mm-hmm. Everyone was in. It was like a full house. We had every instrument that he could possibly have. Playing the bass lines, two or three basses, two or three guitars, percussionists, sometimes Sonny and Cher would walk in to shake maracas, you know. And even Brian Wilson was always hanging out in the hall trying to get in there just to hit a tambourine or something. On the sessions with the Righteous Brothers when we did the Lost and Loving Feeling, the vocal booth was right behind the horns, so they'd come in. Tina Turner finally went on her own to do River Deep, Mountain High.
Oh, I remember that.
Once again, walked in there in the booth right behind us. It was incredible.
And it gets
always had some ideas, but he never really told Hal what to play.
The fact that we were all so experienced, especially experienced fakers, sometimes a mistake
right.
would come out, you know, a mistake would become a hook. Mm-hmm. And when we did that Be My Baby, it might have been... At one point, I might have missed.
Right.
So I just continued it, and that sort of became the hook, that, you know, of that intro.
Working for Phil, a lot of times you'd have court sheets, and usually he knew what he wanted from the beginning to the end, and we didn't find that out because he had to work it out in his mind.
That you were able to create what stayed within that context. The best example of that was what you played in Love and Feel. Just...
You didn't read. You never did read notes, did you, Joe?
Oh yeah, I learned how to read.
Well, you learned how to read.
Yeah, Tommy Tedesco made me learn how to read. He explained to me that I wouldn't have to work as hard creating parts for everybody if I learned how to read. I'm not going to tell you what he called the kind of sessions I would get, but they were just you read the notes, you don't have to think, grab the money and run. And he was right.
Oh yeah, Tommy Tedesco.
Mm-hmm.
What an incredible player! I'll never forget a Jan and Dean session. Jan put Tommy's part upside down, Tedesco's part. He had everything, every note written out for Tommy. Tommy Tedesco, we kicked it off, man. I'm going. Tommy's going. And Jan, wait a minute. What are you doing? And he said, well, you got it upside down. Reading the music backwards upside down. I said, you didn't do that. I said, you really didn't do that, did you? And he turned it over and he played the same thing. He was reading it backwards.
Oh, definitely.
That floored me. That's how you can get so good at reading music. Man, it's hard enough for me to read comic books.
It's funny. I've been involved in music since I was 4 years old. And studied all through school as a classical musician and all through junior high school, college. And I finally get into the studio scene. And I come in with all of this fundamental knowledge of everything. I was doing a movie over at Universal Studios, and I'm sitting here, and to my left is Tommy Tedesco. There's baffles sitting up where the only thing that people can see is like this much. It's like Kilroy kind of thing. And the arranger conductor goes, Tommy, I'd love to hear some mandolin on this. So Tommy bends over and sits up and plays. He goes, no, that's not it. Maybe a bouzouki. You have a bouzouki that bends over and sits up. Goes, you have a banjo. You know, he wants to hear like 10 different instruments. I'm sitting here crying next to him because I'm looking over and Tommy only had his acoustic guitar with him that day. So he just keeps bending over like he's picking something up and playing in different positions until the guy finally heard what he wanted to hear out of it. And when the thing was over, I just looked over him. I said, this just blew all of my college, high school, everything completely out the window.
When you're in the recording studio, time is money, and the red light's on, and people's careers are at stake, and you know, and everybody's waiting for something great to happen from the musicians and everything, that's a bit of pressure. And it's great if you have the type of personality that, you know, can lighten up the proceedings. You know, that's a real talent right there.
Jimmy Boyd brought me into this studio one night. I think he did it as a joke because he wanted me to sing harmony live with Dean Martin.
Those were some of the greatest sessions we ever did. Dean Martin,
live
Frank
stuff.
Sinatra,
yeah.
Sammy Davis,
yeah.
The whole Rat Pack.
Well, that did it deep left, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing along with Frank, man. I was sitting there digging him, you know.
He goes right back to Spector. You'll hear me going, strangers in the night.
Strangers in the night. Exchanging glances, wandering in the night.
We had some great songs. We had some great artists. We had some chord sheets and some ideas that we put together, and we came in the studio, and basically we improvised the records.
Yeah, we did that.
It was my philosophy. I came out of the jazz world. My philosophy was always that improvisation was the best music. And so we would come in with the bare essentials and improvise. And we'd get a feel with Hal and Joe, and then Larry'd start fooling around at the piano or whatever, and we'd get a lick that worked, and we'd lock that down, and we'd get something else that worked, and we'd lock that down, and pretty soon we had a track. We saw lots of things happen together that were, some of them weren't that much fun, but and some of them that weren't that much fun turned out to be hit records, so that's not always the case that having a great day in the studio promises you a hit record. That guarantee isn't always there.
You had me write out some parts for one song, a chart, and at first I was going to write it for flutes. I thought, no, I'm going to write it for saxophones. It'll be a little funkier, you know.
Right.
So we ran it down, and Bowen said, you know, this would have really sounded good on flutes. And I said,
Jimmy, I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Well, you guys know this. We stole all your licks, you know. When we went to do the horn parts and the string parts, we stole the licks that you played in the tracks. This is a band that was behind the scenes fixed personnel most of the time. And if the personnel changed, it was a guitar player changed, or, you know, sometimes Larry played bass instead of piano, and there were subtle changes, but the guys always played together. So there was a camaraderie like you have with a great basketball team or a great football team. It's like sports.
A musician that's a player, it doesn't matter what you stick in front of them. They can flat play it. It's like a horse eating hay, man. You know, it don't matter what kind of hay it is. Throw it out here. We'll chew it up, man. You know.
When I first got started, it was a choice between playing jazz, I mean, for $15 a night, or to go in the studio work where it's nice and clean and you're treated really nice and you do a good job and they like you. But you play your tail off, because when you play with a lot of fire, then you know that you're going to be working next year.
To be able to look at a piece of music and play it the same way with the same intensity if it's the 14th take as opposed to if it's the first take is what I think makes you a great professional studio musician.
Nancy.
Yes.
What makes a great session musician?
You should ask my dad, but, you know, when you go in and you take a chord chart and you just do head stuff, Hal Blaine, all of these huge drums, and he'd play songs on them like bump, 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 bump. It's feeling with the bass drum and the bass. And if I didn't feel that bong, ding, bong, bong, ding, bong. Carol Kay did the greatest slide bass I ever heard. Chuck Berghofer did the boom, 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 the boots bass. And Don Randy is my hero. He can play anything. They could make things up, but not everybody can read.
Here we go. This is like the first.
About 11 minutes. You're going? Yeah. Now, who were the Wrecking Crew? They were behind most of the most recorded band in music history. You've heard them, but do you know who they are? Studio musicians, the Wrecking Crew, are behind many of the most important recordings of music history. Wrecking Crew was a group of all-purpose, highly revered studio musicians who appeared on thousands of popular records, including massive hits such as Mr. Tambourine Man by the Byrds, California Dreaming by the Mamas and the Papas. The instrumental work by this group of session men and one woman, Carol Kay, could find the sound of popular music on radio during the 60s and early 70s, meaning the Wrecking Crew can regionally lay claim to be of being the most recorded band in music history. Now, who were they? The exact number of musicians in the loose collective of Los Angeles session music known as the Wrecking Crew is really not known, partly because of the informal nature of the hiring and also because much of their work went uncredited. Three of their key members were the Magnificent Session drummer Hal Blaine. He did it all. He's probably one of the most sought after. Bassist and guitarist Carol Kay, and guitarist Tommy Tedesco. Incredible. Among the leading musicians who were members also at various times were Earl Palmer, Barney Kessel, that's a familiar name, Klaus Johnson, Al Casey, Glenn Campbell, James Burton, Leon Russell, Larry Nechtel, Jack Nitschke, Mike Melvoin, Don Randy, Al Deloy, Billy Strange, goes on, but there's one other down here, Jim Horn. Jim Horn is a fantastic saxophone player, another dozen they've listed. How did they get their name? I suggest that earlier, but after being known unofficially as the Click or the First Call Gang, Hal Blaine later coined the name the Wrecking Crew in his 1990 memoir. The drummer said the name was an ironic reference to the complaints of older musicians that these young studio performers were embracing rock and pop and thereby going to wreck the music industry. Blaine said that producers from lots of different record labels admired the quality of their musicianship and their ability to improvise. They were given musical freedom. 9 times out of 10, the producer or arranger would tell us to use the charts as a guide. That's all. We were encouraged to go for it, to go beyond what had been written. We had the opportunity to be a team of arrangers, said Blaine. Blaine, one of the crew's most sought-after members, and is estimated that he played on more than 35,000 tracks, working with the bands as diverse as the Beach Boys, Gary Lewis of the Playboys, the Carpenters. Blaine's impressive drumming is one of the bedrocks of the Simon & Garfunkel masterpiece Bridge Over Troubled Water. If you remember that song, it's got that echo, that drum pounding with the toms and the bass. Let's see, what did they do during the 60s and 70s? Los Angeles producers needed reliable standby musicians who could be counted on to contribute to records in a variety of styles and delivery hits on short order. The Wrecking Crew were musically versatile performers who were usually brilliant at sight reading. Their contributions featured pop song, television music, theme songs, film scores, and advertisement music. The reason the Wrecking Crew's contributions to so many hits recordings went unnoticed at the time. Record labels wanted to keep it that way. They didn't want them knowing that these guys were doing all the music for the hit records. Maintaining the illusions of the famous bands such as the Monkees always played their own instrumental parts. We all knew the game, said Carol Kay. The Wrecking Crew were incredibly hard-working musicians. You leave the house at 7 o'clock in the morning and you would at Universal at 9 till noon. Now you're at Capitol Records at 1 and you just got time to get there, and then you have a jingle at 4. They were then on a date with somebody at 8, then the Beach Boys at midnight, and you would do that 5 days a week. You could really get burned out, said Bill Pittman. Let's see. The members had a strong jazz background. The Wrecking Crew were needed for a variety of styles, from pop music to Frank Sinatra's sophisticated swing. That was they mentioned that on the recording we just heard. There was a jazz influence among these session musicians. Trumpeter Chuck Finley, who played the Stanley, Turretine, Freddie Hubbard, and Lalo Schifrin, was a regular on the sessions, as the drummer Frank DeVito, who had worked with Charlie Parker, saxophonist Gene Caprino, who played on recordings by Mel Torme, Miles Davis, and Ella Fitzgerald, played on hundreds of pop records as a member of the Wrecking Crew. The most famous jazz man of the Wrecking Crew was guitarist maestro Barney Kessel, who can be heard on classical records by Julie London and Elvis Presley. I think Julie London was the nurse on Emergency, Julie London. Kessel also worked regularly with Phil Spector and appears on records by the Paris Sisters, the Ronettes, Bobby Sox, and the Blue Jeans, Darlene Love, the Righteous Brothers, and Ike and Tina Turner. Kessel was pivotal in the introducing the 12-string guitar to rock and pop, an instrument he used on Crystal's recording, Then He Kissed Me. The guitarist who had backed Billie Holiday on Gershwin's songs also played the mandolin on Wouldn't It Be Nice by the Beach Boys. The Wrecking Crew, the session musicians of choice for Phil Spector when he constructed his wall of sound, and they were the top of, were at the top of the most producers' call lists. The musicians appeared in the songs by nearly every prominent American pop performer of the era, including the Byrds, the Mamas and the Papas, Elvis Presley, Harry Nilsson, the Beach Boys, Sam Cooke, the Carpenters, the Ronettes, Simon and Garfunkel, Frank Sinatra, and Nancy Sinatra. And let's see, what TV music did they play, make? Tommy Tedesco was one of the core members of the Wrecking Crew, the guitarist, and his guitar introductions were essential to many of the famous television theme tunes of the era, including The Twilight Zone, Green Acres, Bonanza, MASH, Batman, Mission Impossible, and Hawaii Five-O, along with film scores such as Born Free. In 2008, his son Danny, that's not Bobby, Danny Tedesco, made a documentary film called The Wrecking Crew, which I suggest to take the time and watch. You can get the, you can see it on YouTube. It won an International Film Festival Award for Best Documentary. Let's take a short break here. We're going to talk about Carole Kaye next. We're talking about the Wrecking Crew. I get excited every time I read about these guys. To not take credit for it, didn't want to ruffle the feathers of what was going on. I got paid well. Carole Kaye in an interview said that she was paid more than a year than the President of the United States, whatever that was in the early 70s. I think it was about $250,000. Blaine lived really high. He bought a mansion. He had a helicopter. He had a boat. He had limos. And then through a divorce, he lost it all. Then he was sleeping in a one-bedroom apartment somewhere. Let's see. The recording of what's the next one I gave you? Was that... I think that's one. That's a long one. You there, Deborah?
The other one says 3 minutes, 42 seconds.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, go ahead and play it. Yeah, I did hear...
very jealous of the guitar when we were first dating and got engaged, and he paid a lot more attention to the guitar, I felt. So I gave him an ultimatum, it's me or the guitar. And he said, honey, the guitar doesn't have legs, you do. He got so upset with him, I took my ring and I threw it at him. Then I went looking for it.
And I was one of these late starters in life. I wasn't one of these guys that you read about in the books. You know, you read these articles in Guitar Player magazine, the guy says, well, when I was 12 years old, I had the chops of a reindeer and all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was 12 years old, I was playing marbles myself. I don't know, you know. And when I was 24, I was at Douglas Aircraft, you know, moving boxes and trying to play guitar. I was 24. I was still into this. Wow, I'm in a seventh position. Whoa, yeah. And I finally learned one hip chord. Whoa. Yeah. So I'm not one of them guys you read about.
We went to the prom and Ralph Martiri was playing the dance. We found out that their guitar player was leaving that night and he tried out, auditioned, and he was hired right then and there. It was on a Friday night, and a Saturday night he left for New York City. Got let go. Martiri was going to get a guitar singer so that he could only pay for one guy. He decided he knew there was nothing there in Niagara Falls for him. He wanted to go to California to play.
While my father struggled to find work playing guitar, he had to make ends meet working in a warehouse. He always said it was the best job he ever had. He hated it so much, it made him practice every day.
I was told by two guys, before we left, he's never going to make it. So after 7 months of struggling here, Daddy wanted to go back. And I said, there's no way, because I wasn't giving in to those two guys. And that's what
Tommy
Dad said, my stubborn Sicilian wife.
In fact, my wife was behind me 100%. Like all the time I work, and it's where she was working. She took the calls. She didn't never complain. I would come in at 11 o'clock or 10 o'clock. I'd see my kids whenever. My wife accepted it. This was our living. Our whole family took it exactly that way. Every once in a while, a musician's wife would come and complain to her, and she'd talk to them. She'd say, well, look, that's his living.
Well, Carmi never talked to Barbara the Barbarian.
My father would say there are only four reasons to take a gig. For the money, for the connections, for the experience, or just for fun.
I got to tell you a story about your dad. We were in Western Studio 3 there, and Jan and Dean, he counted the song. Everybody ready? Okay. Tedesco started playing. And Jan said, stop, wait. And he went over and looked, and he said, Tedesco, what are you doing? Tommy, the music was upside down, and Tommy was reading it backwards. Now, that's a true story. But you talk about getting a laugh out of it. Tommy was a cut-up.
Yeah, Tommy Tedesco. Watching the interviews and who the members were, I think Carol Kay, Tommy Tedesco, and now the drummer. Biggest characters. But we're going to talk about Carol Kay. We're talking about the Wrecking Crew. The band nobody knew, but had probably had more hits, played on more hits than anybody in the history of rock, the history of music. Let's talk about Carol Kay. Carol Kay was asked to fill in at a record session for Capitol Records in 1963, and the word quickly spread in the Los Angeles music circles that her brilliant electric bass playing was a valuable commodity. Carol Kay was the greatest bass player I've ever met, said Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Kay is reported to have played on 10,000 recording sessions, including with Sinatra, Stevie Wonder, The Supremes, The Temptations, and The Four Tops. She created some of the iconic rock bass lines, including California Girls for the Beach Boys, The Beat Goes On for Sonny and Cher. She came up with the bass structure for the theme from Shaft. I have no problems with being the only woman, she said at the time, and spent her time at the Wrecking Crew. Did any of the Wrecking Crew members make it as solo? Barney Kessel. Barney Kessel was something of an anomaly among the Wrecking Crew because he was making successful solo albums for Verve Records while he was also doing session work. However, a handful of Wrecking Crew members also went on to make big names for themselves. Glenn Campbell played on the Righteous Brothers, You've Lost That Love and Feeling, Sinatra's Strangers in the Night, and for the Beach Boys and Elvis Presley before he became famous in his own right as a country music singer. Pianist Mac Rabenik was also a member of the revered session gang, played with everyone from Sonny and Cher, Frank Zappa to before he returned to New Orleans and found fame as Dr. John. That's Mac Rabenik is Dr. John. Leon Russell was also 16 when he moved to Los Angeles to work as a session musician and played on albums by the Beach Boys, the Rolling Stones, Jan and Dean, Bob Dylan, and Herb Albert before going on to find his solo fame. What Wrecking Crew songs would you know? There are simply too many fantastic songs to list, but well, we're going to get to them anyway. But among one of the best-known Wrecking Crew songs that have not already been mentioned are Nancy Sinatra's The Boots Are Made for Walking, Elvis Presley Can't Help Falling in Love, and Viva Las Vegas, Jan and Dean's Surf City, Simon and Garfunkel's Mrs. Robinson, Sonny and Cher, I've Got You, Babe, The Ronettes, Be My Baby, The Crystals, He's a Rebel, and The Monkees, Last Train to Clarksville. And what songs should you know about the Wrecking Crew? The late Larry Nechtel, who later became a member of Bread, was still working as a session music in the 21st century, including for the Dixie Chicks. Nechtel played keyboards, bass, guitar, and harmonica as a member of the Wrecking Crew and said they were young musicians in the right place at the right time because this kind of thing will never happen again. Guaranteed. So it was just a one time, and then, like you said, right place, right time for these musicians. We were all young. I was making big money and hearing myself on the radio. Nectar's piano introduction of Johnny Rivers' 1972 version of Rockin' Pneumonia and the Boogie Woogie Flu is an example of the class membership of these session musicians. A less well-known members of the Wrecking Crew also lit up Richard Harris' version of MacArthur Park, which was written by Johnny Webb. Drummer Hal Blaine, said that one of his favorite Wrecking Crew-driven songs was another Webb song, Up, Up, and Away, which was recorded by the Fifth Dimension in 1967. The song swept the boards at the 1968 Grammy Awards, winning Song of the Year, Best Pop Performance by a Group with Vocals, Best Contemporary Song, and Best Performance by a Vocal Group. The guitarist on that memorable record, was Californian Al Casey, who stayed out of the limelight and ended up as a music teacher in Phoenix, Arizona. The Wrecking Crew were the unsung heroes of so many hits and records, said Nancy Sinatra. Just bizarre how much these guys played. I'm gonna get to the list. Let's see. Wrecking Crew movies, songs. Oh, yeah, best. So Up, Up, and Away, that's the Fifth Dimension we just mentioned. These Boots Are Made for Walking, MacArthur Park, Be My Baby, I'm Not Going to Miss You, I'm Not Going to Miss You by Glen Campbell. The Beat Goes On, Sonny and Cher, and Boogie, the Wrecking Crew. Eve of Destruction by Barry McGuire, that was a war, anti-war song. Indian Reservations, the Raiders, that's Paul Revere and the Raiders. Oh, no. Okay. Flying Telecaster, Michael Nesmith. That's one of the Monkees. Out on Limits, the Marquettes. Wendy, the Association, no kidding. You Still Believe in Me, the Beach Boys. God Only Knows, Beach Boys. Fools Rush In, Ricky Dowson. Out of Limits, the Marquettes. Drummer Man, Nancy Sinatra, Dizzy, Tommy Rowe, if you remember that, and the list goes on. My God, the Munsters. The theme for the Munsters is played by members of the Wrecking Crew with Howard Roberts on guitar. Wow. And this is a. We're going to get to Glen Campbell next, I think. Can we go ahead and play that Wichita Lineman? This is one of my favorites.
Yeah, I did.
Glen Campbell is, when he was part of the Wrecking Crew, when he left for his solo, he demanded that his own guys, his group, his band, play the music and not the Wrecking Crew. He wanted his band to be tight enough to not be influenced by anybody else, so... That's the exception now. When Glen Campbell went on his own, he didn't want the Wrecking Crew to take his music. He wanted his own band to do it. I don't know if he dealt with stepping on toes, but Glen Campbell was an excellent guitarist, probably very underrated. He'd be probably top 10 guitarist in that era.
is probably a little higher than that. Like Roy Clark was another one. Glenn Campbell, I think it was a 12 string. He played classical Gas, which is instrumental. It's just an incredible song. But let's go ahead and play that Glenn Campbell song.
Okay.
Thank you.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you through the the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, that stretch down south won't ever stand the strain. And I need you more than want you. And I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still on the
Todd Lyman, Glenn Campbell, one of the most underrated guitarists in history. I think it's done. Glenn Campbell. I remember his variety show. Very entertaining.
Yeah.
Glenn Campbell's name in the legendary. His name is legendary in country music, thanks to his iconic hit songs. But he's also a major figure in music as a whole, due to his crossover hits and especially because of his work as a session musician. Whether fans know it or not, Campbell left his mark on a myriad songs in the 1960s before he was started his own solo career. When Campbell moved to Los Angeles in 1960, he got a job as a writer and demo singer, played on the publishing player for the publishing company that led to the work as a session musician. Campbell became part of the Wrecking Crew in the in-demand group of session players who worked on songs for everyone from Sonny and Cher to Frank Sinatra. They always mentioned Sinatra. There were producer Phil Spector's go-to band, house band, but were sometimes uncredited players, and the late Leon Russell was also a member. Let me get down to the... Let's see... Spector produced and co-written songs that Campbell was on. You've Lost That Love and Feeling, came to hit with the Righteous Brothers. Following its release in the fall of 1964, the song is a prime example of Spector's wall of sound. their technique for which was used by the Wrecking Crew. Campbell later included his own version of the songs in the 2014 album, Love and Life. I thought, Glenn Campbell, yeah. Phil Spector's not available at the moment. Campbell played guitar on Mama Tried, Merle Haggard's famous song. He played the harmony in Haggard's tune. They recorded the song live on one take, according to Haggard. Then he mentions the other Haggard song that Glenn Campbell was on. Man. Frank Sinatra, Strangers in the Night. Glenn Campbell. 1966, once admitted to being starstruck during the experience when Sinatra was there. Starstruck. A guy like Frank, it's like they don't laugh much, but I always thought he was bashful, Campbell recalled. He was kind of off-standing until you made him mad. And then he was a tyrant. Talking about, Frank Sinatra. Let's see. I'll give you, we have one more recording, Deb?
We don't, but I could get an outro song for you.
Yeah. We got 8 minutes left.
Do you want another glue, or do you want me to get These Boots Were Made for Walking?
Yeah, either one. These Boots Are Made for Walking, Nancy Sinatra. Big hit.
Cool.
Nancy Sinatra didn't make it late as much as Frank Jr., Sinatra Jr., but These Boots Are Made for Walking was a big hit. I want to thank everybody for listening. We visited the Wrecking Crew, one of my favorite subjects to talk about. Deb likes it because I get excited. I talk about them. Yeah, it was just one of the biggest secrets, and nobody knew. And so many.
And I think the word I used was actually so enthusiastic, but excited works.
Enthusiastic. Yeah, that works. Well, let's go ahead and play that song. The music is by the Wrecking Crew.
You're going to have to give me a second to download it and also talk again.
Looking at.
Keep talking for another minute.
Okay, Glenn Campbell is also on Roger Miller's "Dang Me," gotta get a rope and hang me up to the highest tree. Boom, won't you wait for me? Bum, bum, bum. Campbell also served as best man at Roger Miller's wedding. Hanging around with big boys, Beach Boys. Yeah, Campbell even toured with the Beach Boys. Wow, filling in when they ailing Brian Wilson when Brian had a stroke. He spent 4 months on the road with the band before Bruce Johnston took over. Wow, played live with the Beach Boys. Wow. Toured with them. That's great. Yeah, 1960. Some of these guys, Leon Russell, they mentioned Glenn Campbell was very young. Who was Tommy, he was a little older. But they were 16 years old, 17, 18 years old. They go to L.A. to make money as a session musician and walked in, got a job, and the story goes on. I mean, man, history made. I'm going to look up.
It's all ready.
I wish I could remember the name of the drummer who said that he grew up trying to copy the style of three different drummers from three different bands. When he found out that it was the same drummer.
They have three names listed under drummer. They have Hal Blaine, Earl Palmer,
Hal Blaine,
or Jim and Hal Blaine. Jim Gordon.
Yeah, Hal Blaine was the original drummer. He was the one that everybody wanted. What a character. I saw the interview. Next time we'll visit him, we'll play some of the interviews by the members. I would invite everybody to go to YouTube, put the Wrecking Crew in, and just listen. Pick any one of them. You'll learn about these guys. Incredible. Incredible life.
We don't have to do that. We just have to tune into Patter's Jukebox because, like, you always come up with great information. For example, I didn't know that the Wrecking Crew was called the Wrecking Crew because they thought it was going to wreck the industry. And yeah. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they sort of took over. Very few musicians moved from the East. Yeah, very few musicians moved from the East Coast to L.A. when the music scene eventually went to the West Coast. The ones that did, they were very proper, very formal, and they just hated the way, the informal way that these young musicians were doing. That's, you know, they said they're going to wreck the music industry, and they just embraced it. The Wrecking Crew, great name.
It's cool because it's a reminder. Rather than wrecking anything, they're in tons. Like, I put that little notation on your chat wall because I thought it was quite fascinating that, Bill Pittman? He just died in August at 102 years old. He was a guitarist.
Wow.
And it says that he was the member of the Legends band, and he played on albums by Sam Cooke, Phil Spector, James Brown, and the Beach Boys. And while no cause of death was revealed, the musician had recently fractured his spine in a fall and spent the last month of his life recovering from that accident. And it says he would do stuff like during a one-year period, he logged in an astonishing 425 recording sessions. Holy cow. No wonder you're so fascinated by them, Hatter. And like I said, so far you haven't run out of information. It's been awesome stuff that you've shared. And then it leads me back to that enthusiasm you get.
Yeah, it's remarkable. The guy who went to Bread, performed the group Bread, they made it pretty big. It's funny, when I was reading the music that certain session artists were part in, you can tell who was the more old school, the early rock by, you know, Sam Cooke and the Four Tops, even the Supremes. And then you got the guys that did some of that, but also got the Motown and some of the early rock pop. And then you got the guys that just did the pop songs, like Carole Kay could do it all, but she's responsible for those great bass lines in These Boots Are Made for Walking, which we're going to hear next, Sonny and Cher. And it was just the little hooks. They call them hooks. That little bass line in Carole Kay's part in it. They're just iconic intro bass lines, basically, most of them. And that we'll hear that doom 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 doom. I think that's it. We're going to be here. Why don't you go ahead and play it?
Okay, well, I'm going to push play right now, and we will listen to Nancy Sinatra and Fabulous Show Hatter. Here it comes.
Thank you. Look, okay, Nancy. Nancy, what are you doing here? Go ahead.
Wrong button.
Yeah. There it is. Okay.
You keep saying you've got something for me. Something you call love. But confess, you've been a-messin' where you shouldn't have been a-messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Thank you.
is changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right yet. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. You keep playing where you shouldn't be playing, and you keep thinking that you'll never get burned. Ha! I just found me a brand new box of matches, yeah. And what he knows you ain't had time to learn. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you. Are you ready, boots?
Mom. Start walking.
Start walking.
Go, go.
Nancy Sinatra, these boots are made for walking. How much would be recredited to Frank, being Frank's daughter? Because not the best singer, not like Frank Jr. But I remember her coming out in the go-go boots on the riding shows. Yeah. But the music, if you listen to the music, the bass line and the at the end, the trumpet, just incredible people. We'll do another one.
You've got a lot of attitude, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of these players that are still. I'm sorry, say that again. I talked all over you.
No, it's my fault. Anyway, I said I like when she shows a little bit of attitude and she goes.
Yeah. Okay, I got a little Nancy. But, you know, silver spoon to the max. Thanks, Nancy's daughter. Yeah. Well, I want to thank everybody that is listening, anybody that's going to listen on demand. This is Jay Hatter, your host for the night. I never introduced myself, so at the beginning. And with me was Deborah Lee, the boss, my little sister, my best friend. And like I said, we'll do another Wrecking Crew. What I'm finding is some of these guys who made interviews that were part of the Wrecking Crew, they weren't, I didn't see them before. So I think they've just been released. They're collecting the material. I think there's one with Hal Blaine. I got to get his next time because he's funny. About living like a millionaire and then living in a one single bedroom apartment after a divorce. But
there's so many different angles you can take just from that one name. But you know what I find profound, Hatter?
Yeah.
When we use a song, you know how we look up information so that we can educate the listeners on that song? It's mind-blowing the number of songs that the Wrecking Crew is involved in that keep popping up over and over again when we go looking for information to share with people if we play a song.
Yeah.
I had never heard of them until you brought them up. Now I sort of see their name popping up everywhere. It's really cool, and I, for one, am fascinated by it.
Well, I think the band, Wrecking Crew, the name, is still being used by the session artists in L.A. So it's a constant, it's sort of like, what's the effervescence? Who's the... The group that does Hallelujah so well. Effervescence?
No. Sonic.
Yeah, they sing a cappella. No music, no instruments.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're in this, I don't want to say their name wrong, but I know who you, Subtronic, something like that. But,
That's going to be on the list for one of these next song music.
That would be cool too.
Shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, you want to go out with one song, long song, or you want to end it right here?
I am not in the room anymore, so I can't push any buttons. So if you're not logged in, then we're just going to say love and respect, and we'll see everyone Saturday for Cardboard.
Let me check. I think I might still be logged in. And I am...
In the meantime, let's... I know that I don't know what time because I'm away from the computer, but I know that tomorrow night over at A Poetic Slice of Life, they're doing a show, and I am trying to remember. I know, Highlander, There Can Be Only One. Again, check the time at A Poetic Slice of Life chat room. And then on Saturday, you can check in with Sky for her 8 o'clock show. And on Monday at 7:30, the Mortuary of Shadows. So cool stuff going on over at Poetic Slice. And we'll see you over there. And we'll see you on Saturday night with me and Hatter and AP for Cardboard.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see everybody on the next show. Thanks for listening. This is Jay Hatter and Deborah Lee. Have a great evening.
Great show, Hatter. Love and respect.
Thanks.